When the 3-year-old fell asleep with her head partly on his arm and partly on the open book, Uwe had put both her and the cat in the bed and turned out the light. On the way back along the hall, he'd gone past the 7-year-old's room. She was sitting in front of her computer, of course, tapping away. This seemed to be all kids did these days, as Uwe understood it. Patrick had explained that he'd tried to give her newer games, but she only wanted to play that one, which made Uwe more favorably disposed both to the 7-year-old and to her computer game. Uwe liked people who didn't do what Patrick told them to do. There were drawings everywhere on the walls in her room, black and white pencil sketches mostly. Not at all bad, considering that they had been created by the absence of deductive faculties and highly undeveloped motor function of a 7-year-old, Uwe was willing to admit. None of them were of people, only houses. Uwe found this extremely engaging. He stepped into the room and stood beside her. She looked up from the computer with the dour expression this kid always seemed to lug about with her, and in fact, she didn't seem too pleased about his presence. But when Uwe stayed where he was, she pointed at last to an upside-down storage crate made of plastic on the floor. Uwe sat down on it, and she started quietly explaining to him that the game was about building houses and then making cities out of the houses. "I like houses," she muttered quietly. Uwe looked at her. She looked at him. Uwe put his index finger on the screen, leaving a large fingerprint, pointing at an empty space of the town and asking her what happened if she clicked that spot. She moved her cursor there and clicked, and in a flash, the computer had put up a house there. Uwe looked fairly suspicious about it. Then he made himself comfortable on the plastic box and pointed at another empty space. 2.5 hours later, Parvana stomped in angrily and threatened to pull out the plug if they didn't call it a night at once. As Uwe stood in the doorway getting ready to leave, the 7-year-old carefully tugged at his shirt sleeve and pointed at a drawing on the wall right next to him. "That's your house," she whispered, as if it was a secret between her and Uwe. Uwe nodded. Maybe they weren't totally worthless after all, those two kids. He leaves Parvana in the parking area, crosses the street, opens the glass door, and steps in. The cafe is empty. The fan heater overhead coughs as if it's full of cigar smoke. Amel stands behind the counter in a stained shirt, wiping glasses with a white towel. His stocky body has sunk into itself, as if at the end of a very long breath. His face bears that combination of deep sorrow and inconsolable anger which only men of his generation and from his part of the world seem capable of mastering. Uwe stays where he is, in the center of the floor. The two men watch one another for a minute or so. One of them a man who can't bring himself to kick out a homosexual youth from his house, and the other who couldn't stop himself. Eventually, Uwe nods grimly and sits down on one of the bar stools. He folds his hands together on the counter and gives Amel a dry look.
"I wouldn't be adverse to that whiskey now if it's still on offer."
Amel's chest rises and falls in a couple of jerky breaths under the stained shirt. At first, he seems to be considering opening his mouth, but then he thinks again. In silence, he finishes wiping his glasses, folds up the towel and puts it next to the espresso machine. Disappears into the kitchen without a word. Comes back with 2 glasses and a bottle, the letters on the label illegible to Uwe. Puts these down on the counter between them. It is difficult to admit that one is wrong, particularly when one has been wrong for a very long time.